bodies are freed from all mental contamination. Thus, they can always think of their Lord constantly and address Him very feelingly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing Himself to be controlled by His devotees, does not leave them for a second, just as the sky overhead never becomes invisible. Purport. It is clear from the previous verse that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhana, is very quickly satisfied by the activities of His devotees. The pure devotee is always absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated, Shunvatan Swakatha Krishna. By always thinking of Krishna, the pure devotee's heart is free from all kinds of desires. In the material world, the heart of the living entity is filled with material desires. When the living entity is cleansed, he does not think of anything material. As the mind is completely cleansed, one attains the perfectional stage of mystic yoga. For then, the yogi always sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. As soon as the Lord is seated within the heart of the devotee cannot be contaminated by the material modes of nature. As long as one is under the control of the material modes, he desires so many things and makes so many plans for material sense enjoyment. But as soon as the Lord is perceived in the heart, all material desires vanish. When the mind is completely free from material desire, the devotee can think of the Lord constantly. In this way, he becomes completely dependent upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budau kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dholi sadrasham vichintai. My dear Lord, I am your eternal servant. But somehow or other I have fallen in the ocean of this material world. Kindly pick me up and fix me as a speck of dust at your lotus feet. Sikshastika, the fifth verse. Similarly, Srila Narottamdas Thakur prays, Aha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhanu Suta Yuta Karuna Karai Bara Narottama Dasakoye Nathe Liha Rangopai Toma Vina Kea Cheya Mara. My dear Lord, you are now present with the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Now both of you, please be merciful upon me. Don't kick me away because I have no shelter other than you. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes dependent on His devotee. The Lord is inconceivable, yet He is conquered by His pure devotee. He enjoys being dependent on His devotee, just as Krishna enjoyed being dependent on the mercy of Mother Yashoda. Thinking Himself dependent on the devotee gives the Supreme Lord great enjoyment. Sometimes a king may engage a joker, and in the process of joking, the king is sometimes insulted. The king, however, enjoys these activities. Everyone worships the Supreme Lord with great reverence. Therefore, the Lord sometimes wants to enjoy the chastisement of His devotees. In this way, the relationship eternally existing between the Lord and His devotees is fixed, just like the sky overhead. Yan pravrijanta manupeta mapeta krityam dvaipayano virahakatara ajuhava putreti tanmayataya taravobinedu tam sarvabhutaridayam munimanatosmi. Nama Sreshtham Manamapi Sachi Putra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Murupuri Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivara Maho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So yesterday, we came to the point where Sripad Narada Muni, he gave us 3 bullet points to please the Supreme Lord. Does anybody remember any one of them? Yes.
Mercy to all living beings.
Wonderful, daya, yes. Anybody else? Any other points? What was the second point that Narad Muni was saying? Perfect. I'm just giving an opportunity. If nobody comes, I'll just get back to you. He said 3 points to satisfy the Lord. The first was daya, mercy unto all living entities. What was the second point? Yes, Prabhuji.
Satisfaction on what you have today.
Yes, absolutely. Santushtaha. Satisfaction, yes. And the third point was?
Controlling the senses.
Absolutely. Sarvendriyanam. Controlling all the senses from sense object. And by doing that, we please Krishna, who is famous as the maintainer of all living entities. What is that name?
Janardana.
Right. So going one step ahead, since we are all conditioned souls, and we always have this mentality of business, we do something with an expectation of something in return. Every stotra, right? Every prayer, if you see, the acharya said, the last verse is called as the phala shruti, or the merit of chanting. So every acharya says, anybody who reads this, like for example, the Mangalarti, the Samsara Dava, Nala Lidha Loka prayers. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, anybody who reads these prayers in front of the Supreme Lord and Guru during Mangalarti gets Krishna's lotus feet, definitely. Right? So now, because we want the lotus feet of Krishna, seeing that result, we would chant that. If you say you may not get something out of it, I mean, may or may not. So our chanting will also be may or may not. Because we are so much dependent on the result. If I do this, what will I get? If I chant Hare Krishna, what will I get? If I do book distribution, what will I get? So Devarishi Narada knows our mentality. So therefore he says that you can please Janardana. And in the very next verse, he says what you will get in return. Now let's read the translation very attentively. We would know the thought process of Narada Muni. He's speaking to the Prachetas, saying that don't think that you have to do this selflessly, even at this point. Ideally selflessly. Bhakti is ahaituki apratihata. You do service or you perform bhakti only with one expectation, to please the Lord. But even if you aren't on that platform, you would have something in return. Now he says the Supreme Personality becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions and they are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. So one, first and foremost, if you perform bhakti to please Janardana, the Supreme Lord becomes very dear to you. So if you really want a process through which you can purchase the Supreme Lord, well, you're on the right track. Then he goes on to say, the Supreme Lord relishes the devotional activities. So he says, being completely cleansed of all material desires, the devotees are freed from all material contamination. So that's point one. We're always thinking that I have so much of contamination here. How can I be cleansed? How can all my sins go away? How can I be purified? Well, by bhakti, you would. Second, those who think of the Supreme Lord constantly and address Him with feelings, the Supreme Lord gets controlled. That's the second. So first, your sins, your contamination is washed off. Second, the Supreme Lord dances to your tunes. And most importantly, the third, He never, ever, ever, in any circumstance, in any life, leaves you. Just as, and if you see the example that's given, it's beautiful. Narada Muni gives the example of the sky. Now think of the time when Narada Muni was speaking this. We didn't have these buildings. We didn't have these corporate towers. We didn't have any of that. You're living in a generation where mountains, rivers, and Mother Nature is everything. And wherever you go, you have the sky always. There is a very famous saying, sleeping with the sky as your shelter, counting the stars. So wherever you go, you always are followed by the sky. And during those times, no cars, you walk places, parikramas, right? And hardly you spend time in your house. Most of the times you're outside, in your gurukul. Harikatha, Harikirtan, Prasadam, Yatras, Parikramas. You're always outside. So day and night you're followed by the sky. The example is so dramatic. He doesn't even say the sun. The Supreme Lord follows you like the sun. No. Why? Because the sun also sets. The sun leaves your company in the evening. And the moon rises. He doesn't give the example of the moon. Because the moon is in touch with you during the night and leaves your company during the day. But during the sun or during the moon, there is one thing still constant, that's the sky. So he says, if you actually perform bhakti to please Janardhana, you will be cleansed, the Supreme Lord becomes dear to you, satisfied, dances to your tunes, and never leaves you. Now let's see examples from the scriptures. For those who tried to please the Supreme Lord, did Krishna actually do this? Is there a favorite example you all wish to start with? Let's think of, oh yes.
Sudama Vipra.
Sudama Vipra. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Was that chapter 80? 81. The story of the Brahmin, poor Brahmin, Sudama. Krishnasya sitsa khakaschid brahmano brahmavittama virakta indriyarteshu prashantatma jitendriya. Sukadeva Goswami introduces this character of Sudama in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the first quality he says, Krishnasyasit sakha kaschit. There was a friend of the Supreme Lord. And yesterday as we discussed, the first word of the verse is the impact word. And he starts this verse with, Krishnasyasit sakha kaschit. Not that Sudama had a friend called Krishna. Krishna had a friend called Sudama. Why? Because Krishna was Dwarkadish, he was king. And how was this friend? Kuchailam malinam kshamam dvijadhamani santatam. Torn clothes. His life dependent on the stick. Nothing to eat, nothing to wear. No relations. Only thing that he was attached to in this world was Shri Krishna. And the relation was of the friend. He was respecting Krishna as the king, but it went more beyond the awe and reverence. Krishna syasit sakha kaschit. Krishna had a friend, O King Parikshit. And how was he? Brahmano brahmavittama. He was a perfect Brahmin with transcendental knowledge. Virakta indriyarteshu. He was completely devoid of sense gratification. All the senses were in control. The third point that we were discussing. That's why he became friends with Krishna. And prashantatma. He was self-satisfied. The second point. Right? And he was always compassionate to all jivas. So all three points that we covered in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami introduces Sudama Vipra as the friend of Krishna because he had these qualities. And what did Krishna do to him? He was living in utter poverty. Utter poverty. And then we see in the ongoing discussion, this is one of those stories from rags to riches. People love this story because everybody in this material world wants to be rich. Well, by performing bhakti, you become so rich. Wow, that's impressive. Because all the verses just tell you, Yasyam anugrinnami hari setat dhanam shana. You surrender to Krishna, he takes away everything. He takes away all your possession. That's why he's called Hari. Hari means not just sarvam amangalam hare, but he also snatches your heart away. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a song, he says, my dear friend, if you really love your family, if you enjoy recognition and adoration in this world, if you enjoy the company of karmi women and wine and money, please don't go on the banks of Keshighat. Don't see that Govinda. Because if you see the lotus face of that Supreme Lord, you will lose taste in what you like. You like women, you see Krishna, you lose taste. You like money, you see Krishna, you lose taste. So he's putting a sarcastic comment that if you really like sense gratification, don't see the beautiful form of Krishna. Mathuraya Keshi Tirthe Ghate Rasakash. He sings this song. Don't see Krishna because he snatches everything away. So we hear over and over again, he's Hari because he takes everything inauspicious. But here is Sudama. Krishna flooded him with riches. And then on the contrary, we have Bali Maharaj, who had some everything. He possessed the three worlds. And Vamandev snatched everything away. We have this contradictory situation. You have a Brahmin who has nothing, and Krishna floods him with riches. And here you have Bali Maharaj, who's a pure devotee again. Sudama, pure devotee. And Bali Maharaj had everything. Krishna snatched everything away. Why this duplicity? Why is both are pure devotees? We cannot say he is pure devotee, he is not pure devotee. Both pure devotees, Mahabhagavats. But for one, Krishna is giving money, giving wealth. And to the other, he is snatching it away. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, Sudama was proud of his poverty. There is nobody more poor than me. I'm the poorest. And Krishna doesn't like this word most, because that represents ego. When somebody told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are not most anything. So you have Sudama here, who was proud of his poverty. There's nobody, I am the poorest. And here you had Bali Maharaj, I am the richest. And the only thing that blocks a jiva from Krishna is pride. So if you're proud of your riches, Krishna snatches it away. And if you're proud of your poverty, Krishna snatches it away. So the principle on which Krishna works is humility. If there is anything that instigates pride, Krishna snatches the source away. Because he loves us. Pride is something that blocks our vision. Pride is thicker than all these walls. It is subtle, but it is thicker. These walls can be broken easily. Pride is very difficult. We have had so many deaths. Animal body, we died. Tree body, we died. Bird body, we died. So many human forms, we died. The pain of death is not very painful. The death of the false ego is the most painful. Death of this body is not as painful as death of false ego. Because when there is death of false ego, material conditioning finishes. We are in this material world because of this presence of pride. Pride for something insignificant that we have. I am the best sweeper in the temple. We are proud of our humility. People get proud of their humility. He's a good devotee, but he's not as humble as I am. And we find this quality of fault finding. Picking faults. Before we find faults is a point where we think we are better than the other. We are proud of our situation and we think I am better than that person, therefore I can judge that person, therefore I can find faults. And we do that so easily. And because we have been doing that for lifetimes, we are still going in that inertia. Sometimes when you get into a train, it's moving with a certain speed. And you get off a running train, you still have to catch up, right? Because the body is still in motion. That's exactly what's happening. We have been in so many lifetimes of this pride, false ego, that it still continues. So in the case of Sudama Vipra, he was completely surrendered to Krishna. And because he was surrendered to Krishna, he was freed from all mental and material contamination. Even when he went to meet Krishna, he had nothing to offer. His wife went and begged door to door, can you give me something? When you go in front of the king, when you go in front of the Supreme Lord, and when you go in front of your friend, you must carry something. But Krishna for Sudama was all three. He was the king, he was the friend, and he was the Supreme Lord. Sudama felt, how can I go empty-handed? He gets this burnt, uncooked, unpolished puffed rice. And he just wraps it up in a small cloth, puts it onto his waist. As soon as he enters Dwaraka, all the ministers start abusing. Who's this beggar? Street beggar. And when he sees Krishna eating, served by millions and millions of queens and Lakshmis, Chintamani prakarasatmasu kalpavriksha lakshavriteshu surabhi abhipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra shatasambhrama sevyamanam. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Lakshmi serve the Supreme Lord. But what makes the Supreme Lord accept our offering? We offer some dal, some roti, some sabji, some fruits, some kheer. Krishna eats things which are much more opulent. Served by people who are more majestic. Served in plates which are more aristocratic. But what makes Krishna leave Vaikuntha and come and accept our offering? It is our love. Sudama had that love. His rice was uncooked and unpolished, but they were filled with ecstatic prema. And that's exactly what Krishna picks. When Krishna went to the house of Vidura, and Vidurani, the queen of Vidura, was sitting. Vidura was off. He wasn't there. And Vidurani was so, she was agitated seeing Krishna. So happy. She didn't know what to do, what to give. She forgot to offer Krishna a seat. And when Krishna sat on his own, she didn't know what to offer to Krishna. She got a basket full of bananas. And seeing Krishna's beauty, she was talking to Krishna, peeling the banana, throwing the banana in the trash bin and giving the peel. Imagine somebody doing that to us. We get into somebody's house, they don't offer us to sit, and we are insignificant jivas. Keshagra shata shatabhagasya. Prabhupada repeatedly said, the size of the spirit soul is 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. That's how insignificant we are. And if somebody doesn't tell us to sit down, we have the sarcastic comment. Are you going to ask me to sit down? Do you want me to sit down on my own? And here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He possesses all opulences. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, everything belongs to him. And Vidurani throws the banana in the trash bin and gives him the peel, one after the other. And Krishna chews the banana peel. Thousands and thousands of peels. He's talking to Vidurani and he's eating the banana peel. And when Vidura walks in, he tells his wife, what are you doing? Supreme Personality of God is in our house and you're giving him this insignificant banana peel. She still doesn't realize because her eyes are stuck drinking the beautiful form of Krishna's beauty. Krishna tells Vidura, Vidurani was actually focusing on me and therefore she forgot everything. While you were focusing on the banana and you forgot me. So Krishna is bhavagrahi. Sometimes there are some devotees who may not know Sanskrit. That's okay. Sometimes you might have pujaris who won't be able to pronounce proper mantras. That's okay. Murkho vadati vishnaya dhiro vadati vishnave ubhayostu samam punyam bhavagrahi janardhana. According to Sanskrit, it's vishnave. But people might say vishnaya, which is according to grammar, it's wrong. But the verse says it's actually vishnave. But even if it is pronounced as Vishnaya, but with love and devotion, Krishna accepts it. And Krishna gives the benefit of doubt. He's actually trying to say Vishnave. But because he's so captivated by my beauty, the tongue is rolling as Vishnaya. Krishna accepts Bhava. He doesn't accept what we do. Krishna sees how we do what we do. Why does Krishna hold a peacock feather on his head? We all see Krishna with this peacock feather. Once Krishna in Vrindavan was dancing. He was dancing so beautifully. This was in Barasana. And the peacocks were dancing very close to Morkutir, Man Mandir. The peacocks were dancing. All the peacocks were enjoying and they were dancing. And according to the Krishna book, Prabhupada describes, Krishna has this habit and this talent of mimicry. He can imitate the voice and the walking gesture of every creature. He can sing like the cuckoo. He can dance like the peacock. So when these peacocks were dancing and enjoying among themselves, see how nicely I am dancing. See how talented I am. How beautiful I am. You could be proud as a peacock as well. Krishna came and danced in front of them. And all the peacocks looked at Krishna with one pointed attention. They became stunned, astonished. And there was a peacock walked to Krishna and said, my Lord, I see you dance so beautifully. We thought we were the best dancers. But when you dance, our minds are completely focused at your lotus feet. I don't know what to offer. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to make garlands to offer to you. I can't give Bhagavatam classes. I don't go on Harinam. I don't sweep your temples. I can't do any of these services, my Lord. There's only one thing I can offer you. My body just has feathers. I just pick one of these insignificant feathers, and I completely offer it at the dust of your lotus feet. Krishna, that's all I have. I'm not a multi-billionaire. I can't offer anything to you. There's just a feather that I can offer you. Please accept it. Please, that's all I have. Krishna picked that feather and promised the peacock, this feather represents your heartfelt love. And just like you offer this feather to me, I give you a promise. Wherever I walk, even if I change my attire, even if I eat different foods, even if I make friendship with different people, this peacock feather will always be on my head. That's what Gopi Vallabhai is showing us. We could be a street beggar, or we could be a Bill Gates. Doesn't matter, our material conditioning doesn't matter. You could be illiterate, you could be a PhD. You could be ugly, you could be beautiful. You could be very, very powerful. You could be a Barack Obama. You could just be one of those homeless men in Boston. Doesn't matter. If we can simply offer our heart to Krishna, our life is successful. Have you ever noticed? We have 2 ears. We have 2 eyes. 2 hands. 2 legs. But 1 heart. Why? Because our second pair of heart, Krishna is having. We have to simply join our hearts and offer it to Krishna. There's a saying in mundane romance or love, when the hearts meet, we have 1 heart, where's the second? Krishna has it. So therefore the devotees pray, oh Lord, you have snatched the only heart I have. I have 1 heart and 1 mind, oh Hari, you have snatched it all. Sudama Vipra was another example. Draupadi, when she was being, you know, Dushasan was almost humiliating her in that assembly. She raised her arms, the spirit of complete surrender that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us. And what did Krishna do? He supplied so much of garment. He protected her, just like the sky never leaves you, Krishna never leaves us. We might sometimes take bodies of hogs moving and swimming in sewage. We could be mosquitoes breeding in over trash bins. We could be bumblebees. We could be Devraj Indra. We could be humans. We could be ants. In every body we take, Krishna follows us as Paramatma. Krishna never, never, never rejects us. What to speak of those who surrender to Krishna? And Prabhupada in the purport, he gives the example of Mother Yashoda. There is nothing that binds Krishna. Nothing. Krishna can never be purchased. Our money cannot purchase Krishna. Our intellect cannot purchase Krishna. Our beauty, our strength. Nothing can purchase Krishna. Even our austerities cannot purchase Krishna. Our charity cannot purchase Krishna. Our brahmacharya cannot purchase Krishna. None of these things will purchase Krishna if they are in dovetail with bhakti. Mother Yashoda could do something that the yogis can't. She could do something that nobody could. Everybody tries to catch Krishna. But the only person in history who caught Krishna was Mother Yashoda. Swinnam Vaktram, the Bhagavatam describes. She was running behind Gopal, thinking, "This, he's my child." Everybody goes under the back foot. He's God. You can't catch him. Mother Yashoda said, "No, he's my child." That's the level of her love. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, she did something that's inconceivable. He who's infinite, he who's ever existing, he who's boundless, he who's ajita, can never be won over. He became bound by the ropes of Mother Yashoda's love. And he was crying and rubbing his eyes. Rudantam muhur netram yukmam rijantam. Mother, I did it. I actually broke that pot. I confess. I did it. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And Mother Yashoda comes with a stick at her back. She gets it. Who can do that? Can any of us do that? Who can do that? Even the yogis can't. Brahma goes with folded hands. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship you. And Mother Yashoda chastises that Krishna. It's the power of love. It's only love and only love that pleases Krishna. One last verse before we end. Rupa Goswami quotes a verse ವ್ಯಾಧಸ್ಯ ಚರಣಂ ಧ್ರುವಸ್ಯ ಚ ವಯೋರ್ ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರಸ್ಯ ಕ ಕುಬ್ಜ ಯಾ ಕಿಮು ನಾಮ ರೂಪಮಧಿಕಂ ಕಿಂ ಸುಧಾಮ್ನೋ ತದ್ಧನಂ ವಂಶ ಕಿಂ ವಿದುರಸ್ಯ ಯಾದವ ಪತೇರ್ ಉಗ್ರಸ್ಯ ಕಾ ಪೌರುಷಂ ಭಕ್ತಿಂ ತುಷ್ಯತಿ ಕೇವಲಂ ನಚ ಗುಣೈರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿಂ ಪ್ರಿಯಂ ಮಾಧವ. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಧ್ರುವಸ್ಯ ಚ ವಯೋರ್, ವಾಸ್ ಧ್ರುವ ಅ 70 ಇಯರ್ ಓಲ್ಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ? ನೋ, ಏಜ್ ಇಸ್ ನೆವರ್ ಅ ಬ್ಯಾರಿಯರ್. ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರಸ್ಯ ಕ, ದಿ ಎಲಿಫೆಂಟ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ, he had no PhD, he still got Krishna. So your academic qualification is not a barrier. Kubja was a bent, hunchback woman, ugly looking. She got Krishna. So your beauty can also not purchase Krishna. Kim Sudamno tad dhanam, Sudama didn't have money, he still got Krishna. Your wealth cannot purchase Krishna. Vidura was son of a maid servant. Your aristocratic birth cannot purchase Krishna. All these material qualities cannot purchase Krishna. Bhaktim priyam madhava. That Krishna who is madhava can only be purchased by bhakti. And this bhakti in Kali Yuga can very easily be performed by hearing the glories and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us all try to walk on the path that this verse leads us to. Let us perform pure bhakti. Unmotivated, unconditional, and uninterrupted. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.